And we have been studying spiritual discipline. This is our third discussion or third sermon. First one, we looked at spending time in God's presence. We called it Retreat with the Father. Second one is thinking about God's words and informing our mind about God and about ourselves and about God's word. And we called it meditation regularly. And today we are going to talk about fasting. But before that, I would like to just take us back to the first slide, the slide without any writings. Yes, I see this. This person, he would not be able to do what he is doing here without much practice. You know, if you were to go and play soccer, not having any practice, probably you would not be able to run even for 2 minutes. If someone wants to perform in public, he has to practice quite a lot in private. Someone interviewed Kobe Bryant. I mean, a lot of you are not fans of Kobe Bryant, but I'd like to talk about Kobe Bryant. Someone interviewed, and this is what he said. He practices 4 hours besides his regular practice. He throws his ball and works out 4 hours during the season. Off season, he does the same thing. 4 hours he works out, and rest of the time he runs. And he builds his body. So when he comes to the court, he is a player. He is, you can trust him. Someone wants to play soccer. A friend of mine, one day wanted to play soccer. He thought, soccer is just hitting balls here and there. And he went and he, touched the ball with his head. He did not know how to do that. He did it here without much practice. For about a month, he was ill because he had no practice. Now, if I were to go and play soccer for 2 hours, I cannot do it. Maybe in a minute or two, I become very tired because I'm not practicing. People work out a lot, and we have several people who spend a lot of time in the gym, in the workout place. They build their body, and their body becomes very attractive. They can, they are protected from illnesses, and also they can play various sports. It's very important. The question is, how about our spiritual life? The spiritual life is foundation for everything. If we work out for sports and also to protect ourselves from illnesses, how much more we have to discipline our inner man to protect us from various attacks. If your inner man is strong, then you are strong. If your outer man is strong, probably you can protect yourself from pickpocketers, maybe 2-3 people. But you cannot do much. You need physical strength. You need to work out. But you need to be concerned about, or we all need to be concerned about, our inner man, inner strength. If your inner strength, inner man is strong, then you will have a right attitude about life, right habits, and you can be successful in your life. And the first one we looked at is spending time with the Father. And today we heard a testimony from Benford. And the second one, it is meditation last week. We said you have to keep informing your mind about what Bible tells about yourself. And also you have to keep informing your mind about who God is. So you are conditioned. When you do spiritual discipline, you are standing before God and you are letting God work in your life, make you strong. The foundation verse for our study is 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. It says, train yourself in order to be godly. Train yourself in order to be godly. The Greek word for training or train is gymnazo. Meaning of gymnazo is exercise, physical exercise. You have to sweat. You push yourself until you sweat. And, that is the word is used for gymnasium, gymnastics, and all those things. But Paul is not using this word for physical exercise. But Paul is saying, you train your spiritual life so that you will be godly. But he is not explaining the same passage, what all things you need to do in order to be spiritually strong. So that is why we are just turning back and forth in the scripture to find out where we can learn about spiritual discipline. And you may ask, what is spiritual discipline? Spiritual discipline concerns life choices that facilitate a deeper relationship with God. A lot of people want to have deeper relationship with God. It is not easy. You know, in order to play so well in the basketball court, you have to work out at least 4 to 5 hours every day. And if you want to be spiritually productive, and if you want to have a deep relationship with God, I think you need to have a sufficient amount of training or discipline. It doesn't come automatically. You know, if you want to do well, you have to practice. The same way, if you want to be godly, you have to have spiritual discipline as it is recorded or as it is taught in the scripture. The first discipline we saw was spend one-on-one time with the Father regularly. Discipline two is meditate regularly on scripture. That was last week. Today, our discussion is fast regularly. In other words, develop a habit of fasting. So we will just survey the Bible a little bit to see what kind of fasting we can learn. Generally, you can divide fasting into two. One is need-centered fasting. That means, you know, you fast whenever you come across some needs. The first one is a sign of grief or mourning. Whenever there was a problem or people were struck with something, then they go and fast in the Old Testament. You know, by the way, fasting is not just special to Christians or Jews. People around the world fast, but all of them fast with different motives. But we have to have instruction, clear instruction from the Bible. That is what we are going to do today. The first one is a need-based fasting. First one we see is sign of grief or mourning. When there was an edict by the king of Persia, it says Esther and the whole Jewish community in Persia, they were mourning. This is what we read in Esther chapter 4 verse 3. In every province to which the edict and the an order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews. With fasting, weeping and wailing, many lay in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, when there was a threat from outside, the immediate reaction was people fasted and sat in sackcloth and they were looking at God. Another one we see in 1 Samuel chapter 31 verse 13, when Saul and his sons died in battlefield, people fasted. It says here, then they took their bones and buried them under a tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and they fasted 7 days as a mark of mourning. Another one we see when Nehemiah heard about the broken temple in Jerusalem, broken walls and the broken city, Jeremiah fasted. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted and prayed before the Lord. So that was a mark of mourning. And some other mourning, fasting we see seeking God's help. That we do all the time. And that is supported in the Old Testament. Whenever there was a divine guidance needed, people fasted. The primary example we see is in Ezra 8:23. So we fasted and petitioned for God about this, and he answered our prayers. Ezra was getting ready from Babylon to go to Jerusalem, and he collected all the talented, gifted people, teachers and musicians and Levites and all those people. And what he did was, instead of asking for government protection from the king, he said, we will fast and pray. For 3 days they fasted and prayed primarily for divine guidance. So it was a need-based fasting. We see in Esther 4:16, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you all do. He's saying, Esther told Mordecai, go and fast for 3 days. Don't drink water or anything. You know, don't eat. And I will also join you in fasting. It was a need-based fasting. Another one we will see. There is a sign of repentance. When people were going astray from God, and when a prophet came and rebuked them, pointed their mistake, they fasted and repented. We see that one in Joel. Joel is one of the minor prophets. This happened probably about 750 before Christ. This is what we see. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. God is saying, don't come just like that. You come need-based. Again, you know, it is conditioned by the context. They did not continue it. God was not saying, you continue to fast. It is a kind of need-based. We see again in Jonah, when Jonah went and preached in Nineveh, 3 days, everyone fasted. They did not even eat. They looked to God. That was a fasting and praying. This fasting is called need-based training, a need-based fast, which you don't see in the New Testament. There was one more fasting that was prominent during a time called second temple period time, or time between Malachi and the coming of Jesus Christ. People would fast looking for the Messiah to come. So, you know, if you were to really look for the 41 days praying, 21 days praying for some kind of magical power, probably is not supported in the scripture. Instead, we have references of people fasting whenever there was a need for mourning, whenever they wanted a divine help, or whenever they wanted to repent and come back to God, they fasted and prayed, they sat in sackcloth, and also when they looked forward for their Messiah to come during the second temple period, they fasted. So I'm not suggesting here that you should not fast whenever there is a need, but our discussion today is not a need-based fasting, but our discussion today is how can you develop fasting as a habit. In other words, you are not going to fast when you want to get a job. You are not going to you are not going to fast when you are going to get married. Or, I'm not talking about that. I'm going to talk about how fasting can become a spiritual discipline by which our inner man is strengthened, and we will be, as a result of that, we will be godly. That is what we are going to look at. When you look at New Testament, we don't have an explicit reference or a command for people to fast. But the most important passage is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Matthew chapter 6 has three important things. Jesus calls them acts of righteousness. Jews, during Second Temple period time, wherever they went, they held on to these three acts of righteousness. And we see that in the New Testament, Jesus not condemning them, not stopping them, but he is redefining them. The first one is almsgiving, or giving to poor people. It's called mercy giving. The second one is prayer, which we do that. In that, Jesus teaches, when you pray, this is how you have to pray. And the third one is when you pray. All these three things in chapter 6 starts like this. When you give alms, when you pray, and when you fast. We read that in chapter 6, verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your face and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. As Christians, when we fast, according to this passage, we are not fasting before, a righteous judge. Of course, we are our Father, Heavenly Father is a righteous judge. But before that, we have a relationship as a father. And when we fast, we are not actually fasting for our to meet our needs. Instead, we are going to fast regularly as an act of righteousness. If you pray every day, if you regularly give to people out of mercy, the third act of righteousness is fasting. In other words, as much as you pray, you have to fast. As much as you give to poor people, or you give out of mercy, you have to pray. You have to fast. So in other words, fasting is not just need-based or need-centered. Whenever there is a need, you need to fast. Not that. According to this passage, you develop a habit of fasting as an act of righteousness. Why? When you do this one, you are humbling yourself before God. You are not feeding your flesh all the time. We do that all the time. We get up in the morning. We don't really start without having a cup of coffee. We don't start our work without having a good breakfast. You know, only after coming to the United States, I understand breakfast is so important. A lot of time I skip breakfast. But I go to my friend's place in Central Texas or South Texas. Their big food is breakfast. 6 o'clock, they have food. First time when I came here, I was working in the cafeteria. And I would go in the morning to open the cafeteria. People come and they start eating bacon in the morning, which I was not used to. If you eat a good breakfast, you get a lot of energy to carry on with your work during the day. I was not used to that. You know, we feed our flesh morning, afternoon, evening, and before we go to sleep. But when we fast, we are not going to feed our flesh. Instead, we are using that as an opportunity to develop a closer relationship with God. You know, it is an act of righteousness. So there has to be a change of perspective about fasting. Fasting is not twisting God's arm and say, God, you have to do this one. Some people say, I'm going to start this one praying 30 or 21 days, thinking that, we are going to just change God's mind. Sometime it happens. Sometime what we are praying God gives to us. But, we should not just fast in order to receive that. But we have to, we can pray like people prayed in the Old Testament. But what we read from the scripture passage is, fasting should be a pattern. We have to develop it regularly in order to have a deeper relationship with God as an attitude of humility. To humble before God. We, don't feed our body. Instead, go before God and we spend that time with the Father. Second one we read in Matthew 4:4. Jesus fasted for 40 days. And when he finished, Satan came to him. This is what Jesus said. Man shall not live by bread alone. So we have to understand fasting is also a dependence on God. When Jesus responded to Satan, this is what he said. We don't survive not necessarily by food alone. Although food is important, but we have a better thing by which we survive. That is our dependence on God. When we fast, when we develop a habit of fasting, we time and again affirm that we are dependent on God. We are actually, building on our inner man. Most important one is the third one, what I'm going to tell right now. Matthew 9:14-15, when Jesus' disciples were eating and, eating and drinking, this is what Pharisees said. Then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. They will fast. Then they will fast. Thing is, until Jesus came, everyone was looking for a Messiah. They had to fast because foreign kings were ruling them. They were serving in other countries as slaves. So they were mourning. They were looking for a Messiah to come. Messiah came. So Jesus is saying, when the bridegroom is here, you don't need to fast, but there will be a time, bridegroom will be absent from them. During that time, disciples and the followers of Christ will fast, not as mourning, fasting as mourning, not with grief, but with an expectation. So, when we fast, we are not going to fast as people who mourn, but as people with anticipation. Just as we do when we do communion. Jesus said, you do communion. Whenever we do communion, we act out the gospel message. We remember three things. Jesus came to this world to die on the cross on our behalf. We remember the historical fact. And also we remember what is happening right now. What happened 2,000 years back, it is effective even today. And also we declare that we are a community of future. In the same way, when we fast, we are going to announce or declare that we are waiting for the coming of the Messiah, or the second coming of the Messiah. It says, when right now, when Jesus was with the disciples, Jesus said, when the bridegroom is here, his friends don't need to fast. But when he is temporarily taken up, they will fast, not mourning, not in grief, not in sadness, but with a positive attitude looking forward. And that is a wonderful opportunity to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. So I call it anticipation for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, or an opportunity to remember Christ. So in the New Testament, we have a different perspective of fasting. By fasting, we act out acts of righteousness. In other words, we tell God that we are humble before Him. You know, according to Matthew 6:16, when we fast, we tell God that we are completely dependent on Him. Not just on the food, on the things that we eat, but we tell God that we are dependent on Him. Finally, we tell Him, God, we are looking forward for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in those days, they used to say, Maranatha. When we fast as New Testament believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, this is what we do. You know, we are waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing perspective of fasting in the New Testament. You know, when disciples were praying in Antioch, Paul, Barnabas, John Mark, and few other people in church at Antioch, they were fasting and worshiping. They were not mourning. Whereas you look at the passages in Esther, Jonah, Joel, 1 Chronicles chapter 30, and Isaiah 37, all these places, they were mourning and sitting in sackcloth because of the impending danger or looking for some guidance. Whereas in the New Testament, we get a different perspective. It is an opportunity to come before God and humble ourselves before God and say, God, you are our Lord, you are our Master. And we come and tell Him, we are completely dependent on you. And also we declare, Lord, we are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you may ask, as a spiritual discipline, what should I do? I would like to give you two suggestions here. Or, you know, you may ask, you know, what is this second type of the fasting that we see in New Testament? It is a God-centered fasting. We discussed need-centered fasting. That is conditioned by the context. It was not prolonged. They do it maybe 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Maximum was 40 days. After that, they didn't fast. But God-centered fasting is not conditioned by the context, but it is conditioned by our relationship. And we can do it every week. We can do it every month. All depends on, you know, our desire to walk with God. That depends on how strong we desire to have our inner man disciplined. So God-centered fasting is focused on God. So we will now look at how can we have God-centered fasting. You know, in the Old Testament there was no TV. and there was no sports for people to feed their flesh on, or internet. And I'm one of them. I'm a victim of internet. Every 5 minutes I have to check whether there is any mail, and I have to check this and that news. You want wherever you are, you want to just check. A lot of things are feeding into our flesh. So as believers today, if we decide that we want to discipline our life spiritually, then identify what feeds our flesh regularly. I can definitely say TV feeds our flesh. Internet feeds our flesh. Sports. I look at some people, they are crazy for sports. It's very good. But sometimes it takes most of our time, energy, and our interest than other things. Identify what feeds your flesh regularly. Refrain from it for one whole evening, once in every 2 weeks, and spend that time with the Father. That is the fasting. We discussed on Tuesday what kind of fasting we can encourage people to do. Fasting definitely is refraining from food. We can refrain from food maybe half a day, it is fine. But if we refrain from food and spend rest of the time in front of the TV, then there is no use. Or we refrain from food and spend rest of the time in front of internet or sports, then it is not useful. If we are planning to refrain from food as a spiritual discipline, just as spending time with Father, meditating on His Word, if we want to cultivate a habit, then we have to make a decision today. I have made a decision this way. Once in 15 days, I will refrain from food on Thursday afternoon, and I would not watch TV, and I would not surf internet, and I can even arrange in such a way that I would not even go to that room so that I don't need to watch TV and internet, and I would not eat, but I would spend that time with the Father. And evening, we have a prayer meeting here, and I would like to come every other Thursday with fasting, not touching the TV, not touching the internet, and pray with my brothers for 1 hour. That is a good discipline I have developed. But for you, if you want to have a spiritual discipline, I encourage you, you refrain from what feeds your flesh. Just one afternoon, maybe once in 15 days, every fortnight. And that evening, you don't touch any of those things, and you spend that time with the Father. That will be an excellent spiritual discipline. With all these things, we said we would like to spend time with the Father. We like to meditate on the Scripture. And also we said we will develop a habit of fasting, a pattern of fasting. What is the purpose? We will go back to that verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, train yourself in order to be godly. We want to spend time with the Father to be godly. We want to meditate on the Scripture to be godly. And we want to develop a pattern of fasting to be godly. Fasting, meditation, and spending time with the Father is to an end, a means to an end. The end is godliness. What is godliness? Having a perspective of God's sovereignty in our lives. It's like God is in control of our life. Therefore, I will not be worried about my daily needs. And also, I will be completely dependent on Him for my future. I see people trying hard to have spiritual fruit in their life. They look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. Say, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness, and all those things. Believe it or not, Paul says, you cannot cultivate on your own. What you have started in spirit, that is your salvation, you continue in your relationship spiritually. We can never cultivate on our own without the help of the Father. through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we discipline our life, we don't need to really work too hard for the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit to show up in our lives. As we do more and more, as we have a pattern of spiritual discipline, that will end up in godliness. You know, we don't need to just go around and tell, I'm godly. I'm a follower of Christ. People should come and say, what do you do differently so that, you know, you are walking around differently? Spiritual discipline is for the purpose of us becoming godly. And so we are concluding the series today, and we will start another series either next week or following week. We will just take a few moments this evening. If you feel that fasting half a day, once in 15 days, is workable, it is possible, you can make a covenant with the Lord this evening. Or if you feel that, you know, you would like to fast one whole day a month, it is between you and God. But when you fast, you should have the right perspective about fasting. You are not fasting to twist God's arm to give you answer. Instead, you are fasting in order to tell God, God, I need you more. You fast and you tell God, God, I'm humble before you. I'm not superior than you. You are my master. You are my Lord. And when you fast, you are telling, I'm waiting for my Lord Jesus Christ to come. And in the meantime, I'm, you know, preparing for his coming. A kind of positive anticipation of the Lord's coming. If you think that you can develop this habit, let us just close our eyes. And you can make a decision this evening.